Blaustimmung. Der Politik-Podcast von Jonker, für Jonker und noch nicht so Jonker.
Hi and welcome to a new episode of Blaustimmung, the political podcast by young people and for young people and also not that young people. I'm your host Emma and this episode is a special one. First of all, it's the first one that is not in Luxembourgish, so feel free to give us feedback whether we should do more episodes in English or not. Second, instead of my usual co-hosts Max and Phoebe, I will be joined by today's guest Sergio Ferreira, the political director of ASTI. ASTI, or Association de Soutien aux Travailleurs Immigrés, is a non-profit organization supporting immigrant workers in Luxembourg. This episode will revolve around the situation of migrant domestic workers in Luxembourg, but first it is important to understand the concept of domestic work. According to the sociologist Bridget Anderson, domestic work can be perceived as, quote, a series of processes, of tasks, inextricably linked, often operating at the same time. In that sense, domestic work involves management and labor at a high skilled level and has been socially and historically perceived to be the woman's job. Housework or domestic work has two dimensions. It is both emotional and physical work. Domestic work as reproductive work is not only responsible for the reproduction of the labor force, but also of people as social, cultural, and ideological beings. It is therefore involved in the process of social reproduction. In her study about domestic workers in Europe during the 1990s, she argues that their living and working conditions are primarily influenced by their relationship to the state, that's to say by their immigration status and by their relationship to the employer. In this episode, I'll be using Anderson's conceptual framework to answer the following question. What are the living and working conditions of migrant domestic workers in Luxembourg? Now, without further ado, let's dive right into the interview. So, welcome to our podcast. First of all, let's start with the work of your organization, ASTI. So could you shortly explain the main mission and activities of your organization?
So ASTI was an NGO that was created about 42 years ago, 43 even. As a starting point, there's the principle of equality between everyone, regardless of the nationality. That's the starting point of ASTI. With the time, of course, our activities have developed itself a lot, and today we can say that ASTI is an NGO that engages itself for the living together, the Zusammenleben, like we say it in Luxembourgish, and we engage ourselves in mainly three domains: integration, what we call integration, immigration, and asylum. And on those three domains, we do at the same time field activities, grassroots activities with other partners or alone, but we don't just stay on that level and not just as managers from one Maison Relais, for instance, or something like that, but we try to profit from the experience from the field to bring it to our reflections and discussion groups. So we also do some kind of think tank work with our members of the board, with members of our personnel, with also a lot of external volunteers that participate with us in that work. And finally, we think that we just couldn't stay at the level of the think tank, but we do also political lobby. So we work at three levels, at the grassroots levels, at the think tank, reflection, discussion, and at the political lobby and awareness, of course, regarding these three domains: immigration, asylum, and integration.
So, regarding your political work, maybe what are your main missions and activities regarding migrant domestic workers?
So, we do a lot of awareness work, a lot of plaidoyer, as we say also in French. That means that the experience that we get, namely, but not just, from our help desk, Guichet Info Migrants, we try to take in consideration the different experience that we take from there, and bring it to a working group that works mainly in immigration issues, and there to present deciders, politicians, high functionaries, what are our views regarding that population, because we are in near contact with them. And this pandemic has also made that a lot of people that were working as a domestic worker with no contract, for instance, were completely lost, and they addressed themselves to us. So we are in contact on the field with that population, and we try to profit from that experience to aware deciders about the situation of those people and try to bring awareness to their situation and try to set dispositions that can help them to get in a better situation.
You spoke of the Guichet Info Migrants. Could you maybe elaborate on that offer, and how would you estimate the proportion of domestic workers among the people who are seeking help at this?
So the Guichet Info Migrants, it's an help desk for migrants. They want to get information or some kind of help regarding their residence permits, their family reunification procedure, all the procedures that have to do with the immigration law, with the nationality law also, and in some domain we also treat asylum questions, even if we address those people and that population mainly to other NGOs with whom we have agreements to say if it is immigration it's ASTI, if it is asylum it can be Caritas or Pascal, for instance. And we mainly, as a Guichet Info Migrants, treat immigration issues and everything that has to do with the renewal of permits and all the administrative and bureaucratic issues. But we also do sometimes some work with the population itself. That means, for instance, a few days ago we did a meeting between cleaning ladies that wanted themselves to organize something with our help. So we have our own actions, and we support also other initiatives that take in consideration those issues. Regarding the part of domestic workers in the population that the Guichet Info Migrants helps and informs, I would say that 1/3 of our clients of the Guichet are people that work on care, mainly domestic, of course.
That's a lot, like 1/3 is really a lot.
It is also, if you allow me, Emma, it is also consequence of the situation those people work and live in. Many of them have precary permits. For instance, an au pair is someone who has a residence and work permit that is limited for that work, that person, that family. And sometimes that sets them in some kind of precarious situation. And they need, more than others, perhaps, some kind of help. A lot of people are also working as a domestic worker without a residence or working permit, what is usually called illegal migrants. We don't like to use that terminology, of course, because we don't think that a human being is illegal in any situation. Their situation is perhaps irregular, but it's one of the sectors of the Luxembourgish economy. It's not an exclusive of Luxembourg, of course, but it's Luxembourg that we treat and we work on. So it's also a sector where a lot of people work without a residence and working permit, and because of that, they are more exposed to exploitation and to other risks that we know are mainly linked to trafficking. But on these cases, we are not on the trafficking situation, but there are a lot of problems with people working as a domestic worker. And if we take the example, for instance, of cleaning ladies or men, but mainly ladies, of course, the fact that they have multiple contracts and not just one contract with one person makes that their procedures to renew, for instance, a residence permit are more complicated than for a normal worker who has a 40 hours contract per week. And that's why I think a lot of people that work in that sector address themselves to us, because complications are, let's say, more possible, more frequent than in other domains.
Yes, And would you think that there are more live-in workers in Luxembourg as live-out workers?
More, sorry?
Live-in, well, in a live-in situation?
Yeah, it's something, we don't have precise data about it. Huh?
Okay.
It's from the character of the domain, of the sector, a sector where we have not too much information, there are not too much workers that are syndicalized, for instance, that are members of the unions, and that makes the data difficult. But from the experience that we have at Guichet, it depends. If it is au pair or if it is a care worker for an elderly person, for instance, they will mainly stay in the house of the family they work for. If it is more on the cleaning sector, then there are mainly people, women mostly, that don't live on the family house, but that are very near. So it depends on the situation, but there are no precise data about it.
And what about the country of origin? How does like the situation vary between, let's say, people from EU countries mm-hmm. or from third countries?
Bon, Luxembourg is a country where immigration is mainly an European immigration. People from the European Union are 87% of our foreigners that live and work in that live in Luxembourg. If we consider those the workers from France, Belgium, and Germany, of course, situation is someone else. But if we consider the population who lives in Luxembourg, as I said, almost 90% are European country nationals. On this domain of the domestic workers of care, situation is that there are a lot of Europeans, Portuguese, people who have origin from ex-Yugoslavia, for instance, and there are also a lot of non-Europeans. For instance, on the cleaning sector, we have a lot of persons who are from Brazil, from Cape Verde, and on the last years, or on the last months, perhaps even more, a lot from Eastern Europe. It has something to do also with the war on Ukraine, for sure. But mainly, I would say that there is a balance between Europeans and non-Europeans, and when they are non-Europeans, mainly from countries like Brazil and Cape Verde.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk with au pair, for instance, okay. That, for a reason that we don't quite know, except the international situation and the international way of doing that, we have a lot of Philippines that come as au pair to Luxembourg too.
So maybe could you like shortly explain the special case of au pair? Is there any special like situation of au pair migrants if they are, for example, from the Philippines? Are they especially vulnerable?
There is in Luxembourg, as in other European countries, a special procedure for people who come as au pair, regarding their permits, regarding the conditions they have to live in, and everything is quite well defined. But, unfortunately, from the field, we have a lot of people that address to ourselves, and they consider that what was written on the contract is not respected. So, there is it's a sector, of course, from the nature of the work itself. You see, you're living in your employer's home, you're dealing with their children mainly, and it is a situation that makes those people more vulnerable. Why? Because they are in a certain way totally dependent of that person. Most of them don't even speak the languages of the country. Most of them eventually don't even have any contact with the local population because they are 24/7 at the home of the employer. So it is a sector where we have a lot of people that address us to ourselves to say that things are not being respected as they should. But it is from the nature of the work itself, you see. If we are totally dependent on our employer for everything in our life, then of course you are in a dependency situation and you are not free or empowered enough to move further. On the other hand, the residence permit is completely linked to the work and to that employer. That means if I wanted to get out of that house, I would have to go back to my country. And that makes that they are in a, some kind of situation, perhaps sequestrated is too heavy to use it, but it is a situation where total dependency exists. And when total dependency exists, of course, the risk of abuses, of exploitation, is bigger than in situations where you have some kind of autonomy regarding your employer.
Yeah, I think it's also important to mention that those people can't really go to the police, if I'm right, because...
But they can, theoretically.
Yeah.
They can, of course. But once again, they are in total dependence of the family they work with. And, of course, on the most of the cases, is one word against the other. It's the person says something, his employer says immediately, completely the contrary, except if there is a situation where you can prove immediately that there has been an abuse. People don't complain themselves if they cannot prove it. So it's a situation that I would not say that it's... A general very bad situation, I would not say so. But the legal frame is not, in our eyes, enough to protect people from abuses as it should protect them.
So how exactly do you offer any other support to enhance the legal framework that isn't enough?
It depends a lot on the concrete case of the person. There are situations where are just the hours of work who are not respected, and that sometimes can be solved with some kind of mediation, with a letter to the employer to tell them we have been aware that this situation occurred, we wanted to reach your attention to try to be more respectful. And it can be a situation of sexual abuse, for instance. We already had some cases like those. And there, of course, the path to follow is to go to the police, to go to the authorities and make all the complaints necessary. But sometimes people are not very keen to do it because they are afraid of suffering more consequences. If they complain, then those they would suffer if they didn't. So... It's always a situation of trying to understand exactly what the concrete case, what are the possibilities on the legal framework to help that person, and how far is the person also motivated to make a complaint and to go further. Because there are always, and if it is the case of someone who was living with the family, of course, she doesn't have any alternatives where to go to live. As we know in Luxembourg, housing for persons who are victims of exploitation don't exist. And that makes that it depends a lot on the concrete case and on the elements that we have to prove the eventual abuse situation.
What are your propositions to improve those working conditions and to grant... further support for victims of exploitation?
For instance, if we talk just about the domestic workers, if we talk about those persons, to us it's essential that the legal framework is changed, modified, in a way that allows people at least to be not so dependent on their employer for their residence permit, for instance. In Luxembourg, we do a complete connection between the work and the residence permit. Also, for all other workers that are not domestic workers, the first permit is issued for 1 year and you have to work in the same domain with the same employer. That means that in some way you're always on a dependent situation of your employer. You're always someone who is not completely autonomous to decide what they will do in their life, because if there is an abuse situation and their residence permit comes from that work and they cannot change from employer, then of course there are more risks to be some kind of abuse situation. That's why for us we should start there. That means modifying our legal framework. We have made also some propositions in that direction to the immigration minister, but until now we didn't got to be heard or even to have the opportunity to discuss it in an open way. There's some kind of rejection and inaction in the immigration sector in Luxembourg because we think that we don't have to do anything, and the fact that we have high salaries is enough to attract people. And even the coalition agreement is very, very clear. The only paragraph where immigration is mentioned says the immigration policy is here to serve our economy. Point. For a country is member of the Human Rights Council of the United Nations organization, it seems to us that it is very, very, very small regarding the obligations that we should have as a state of law, as a member of the European Union, and as a country that allows itself to give lessons to other countries regarding respect of human rights and respect of the rule of law. So we should perhaps start cleaning our house before telling the others how they will do with themselves on their own homes.
We depend on the migrants so much in our labor force, and then to like exclude them that much is kind of ironic, I think.
It's kind of tragic, I would say.
Yeah, really tragic also, like, of course.
And if you allow me, it's something that Luxembourg is an immigration country, that we want it or not. We are an immigration country. But we still don't assume it. We still don't put that identity, because it's an element of our identity, on a higher position. We try, I would not say to ignore it, but we don't really reflect about where we are going as a country on that domain. I'd give you a concrete example. The Luxembourgish Parliament just finished or is finishing constitutional revision and reform. And on the first constitution that we had from the 19th century, there was an article saying Luxembourgish are equal regarding the law, and the others we will see. On the 21st century, we have maintained that disposition. That means our constitution says from the beginning that foreigners are not equal as Luxembourgish. So it's a sign that we give from the beginning, and on the rest of our day life, it reflects itself. I would not say, and I cannot affirm, that we are a country that doesn't accept this immigration, but we are at least a country that ignores that domain, that part of our all-day life, and we don't really reflect about it. And I defy anyone to tell me what's the immigration policy of Luxembourg besides the economics.
So what you think that there isn't a general awareness in the population about these issues, especially regarding domestic workers?
I think not. If they are not in direct contact with people working on those sectors, I think most of the population doesn't understand the problems and the issues that we have there. I give you an example. It is an example from the past, but a former minister and former European commissioner had working at their home, domestic workers, without contract, without residence permit. So those people, even if now with the pandemics, everybody at the beginning were giving them the best of our willingness, it's a population that from its status, from its work, that it's more or less invisible for the general population. Of course, their situation is mainly ignored by the rest of the population, of course, because it's an invisible population. They work as domestic workers. That means they are not seen, they are not in contact with the rest of the population, mainly if they work as an au pair or something like that. Of course, if it is on the cleaning sector, people come out of the houses where they work and it's a different situation. But even those who are in contact with the rest of the population, it's a kind of work that it's not enough verbalized in our opinion, that, and we should at least be consequent. And if we think that those people are indispensable for our all day life, they should be paid and they should be treated as indispensable people, not dispensable as they are considered nowadays.
Do you estimate the migrant domestic workers to be well connected among themselves?
That I would say, yes, because a lot of people that come to our guichet, for instance, they come because some colleague of them was already in contact with us, or because in some discussion group in social media they have been informed that our services exist. So I would say that the technologies that we have today allow that those people are more connected than they were before. But even so, there are a lot of isolation also in this domain. In a general way, they are connected, but there are also a lot of situations where there is some kind of isolation, of course.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the pandemic quite a few times. How did it affect, like, domestic workers?
It depends. Those people who are in a regular situation where the employers are respectful of their rights, of course, there were not too many problems. But we assisted also, for instance, with the closings that were decreed, we assisted also of situations where, for instance, an au pair was working here for a few months, their employers wanted to send them back because they weren't needed anymore. If the parents were obliged to stay at home, they wouldn't need an au pair. That was one situation for a few. But people who were working illegally, those were the first victims. Why? Because they didn't have any kind of contract, so they didn't have any right to be helped. All the dispositions that existed for the rest of the population wouldn't apply if you didn't have a residence permit. So what's happened in a lot of situations was that, and since people were back to their houses, they would say, I don't need you anymore. I won't pay you anymore. And from one moment till the other, a lot of people in that situation, mainly those who were not working with contracts and on a regular situation, they saw themselves from one moment at the other without any source of revenue. And eating was for a few a problem from the beginning. Paying their house, if they had a lawyer to pay, was another one. So it were, in some kind of situations, basic needs that were not more covered. And that's why we, as ASTI, we launched directly in April 2020 a distribution of vouchers in order that those people could get access to the social groceries managed from Caritas and Red Cross, and could buy there some food and some basic need stuff. So that was one of the main problems from the beginning. Secondly, for those who are foreigners and from third countries, traveling was a great difficulty and they couldn't go back to their origin countries. Or if they were in a situation where they were trying to get their family here, they wouldn't get it too. So there were some difficult situations for domestic workers, not only, of course, not for everyone, of course, but we have saw some problems that went from the basic needs till traveling issues.
What about the sanitary situation? Like, could they be vaccinated, irregular workers?
We got that irregular workers could be vaccinated, but we had to fight for it. Mm-hmm. It was not acquired from the beginning. We started to make contacts with the health ministry from the beginning, where we had the pandemics. And for instance, we got to set testing also for those people, what was not possible from the beginning. Since the moment we heard that Luxembourg was starting vaccinating those people, we tried to ensure that regardless of the status, every person that corresponded to the criteria that the health ministry has set could be vaccinated. If they had a residence permit or not. If they were in Luxembourg, they should be vaccinated. It was for us a question of public health, but also a question of non-discrimination. But for the vaccination, we had to fight a lot. And we had that certain moment in February 21, we got the guarantee on a public reunion that they would be vaccinated as anybody else. But when we tried to put it on track and on the practice, obstacles were coming. And we were forced to write a letter to the Prime Minister, to the Health Minister, and to the Family Minister, in order that they will allow those people to get vaccinated. So that was not an automatic decision, as it should be in our eyes, but we even had to write to the Prime Minister to get it done. And it only happened from August 21. That means 6 months after we started the vaccination campaign.
Wow, okay. Another question that popped into my mind was if there were any regular workers or like people with a tourist visum that fell into irregular work because of the pandemic, because they couldn't go back to their country?
Exactly, and you understood it very well. People were blocked in Luxembourg, a few. And when the closing was there, of course, nobody could work. But when businesses started to reopen again, there were some travel bans still for a few people, and a few were blocked in Luxembourg, and they couldn't get to work legally because the Luxembourgish law doesn't allow someone from a third country to be in Luxembourg and get the permit. You first get the permit and then you can come. What is in our eyes is something that should be changed, of course, because someone in Brazil cannot get a contract and a housing contract before he comes to Luxembourg. But that's what the law demands. So someone was already in territory, couldn't legalize himself. So a lot of people start working also illegally. That's true, of course.
Sadly, we have reached the end of our interview. But thank you for this interesting conversation. I'm sure our listeners have learned a lot. And yeah, it was a pleasure having you here.
It was a pleasure to me too. And Asti is always available to talk on these issues with
thank you
or otherwise. Thank you.
Thank you very much. For this episode, my most important reference has been a book by Bridget Anderson called Doing the Dirty Work: The Global Politics of Domestic Labor. As always, I will link you that and other sources in the description. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram under Lauschtermul and to give us a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. See you next time. Bye.